Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2012. Brought to you by...
On the American Foundation for the Blind website, you'll find everything you need to know about blindness and visual impairment. Search our national job bank, discover the history of Helen Keller, read our blog on current issues, find professional resources, and even more. Our site is completely accessible. Check it out at www.afb.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here at CSUN 2012 with Victor Sarin, Senior Accessibility Program Manager for Yahoo, and also some of Victor's co-workers here at Yahoo at CSUN, and just to talk about Yahoo accessibility. Welcome, everybody, to CSUN and Blind Bargains.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. We have, who else? We have Nate, we have Ted.
Yes.
And Kara's kind of hiding over there as well.
Sort of.
Yeah, great. So, Yahoo, you don't actually even call it accessibility so much. It's more of inclusive design. Why don't you tell us a little bit of what that means?
Yeah, so over the years we've been called accessibility, and it's something that every company probably has, accessibility team. A couple of things happened. We constantly try to figure out how we can sort of hype up the profile of accessibility. And one of the things we did notice that was that many people have certain associations with accessibility, especially when you talk to product managers or business of folks of any kind. And so two things happened at the same time, which made us change the name or consider changing the name. We have been officially incorporated into the Yahoo Design, Global Design Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, we thought this is a great opportunity for us to actually think about changing our name, given the things that I already mentioned before, that of the because of the accessibility sort of connotation that people have with the term. And so we decided, why don't we just call ourselves inclusive design? That fits perfectly into the organization chart, but also it better expresses what we do, which is, rather than making things accessible, we design in such a way that we include people. I think it sends a better message. It also makes it easier for mainstream folks to understand what we're about,
mm-hmm.
which is inclusion.
So what you're saying, instead of trying to retrofit
right.
a service and make it accessible, you just want to make it work right away.
Right, and that means everything from the way you think about design, which is you start thinking about people with disabilities or assistive technologies from the beginning as much as you can, as opposed to let's design and then let's figure out how we can make stuff accessible.
Sure.
It just has a more proactive meaning, okay. I think, the word inclusive.
Just as some background for some of our listeners who may not be aware, what are some of the products and services which your umbrella kind of falls over as far as Yahoo?
So Yahoo is a content hub. That's sort of who we are. We deal with content
mm-hmm.
For the most part. Sort of to break this down, we work primarily in two areas, which is media and technology. On the media side, we have sites like sports, finance, Oh My God, you know, lifestyle, Shine, all these kind of things. Everything that has to do with content. And on the technology side, of course, we're also a company that does a lot of evangelizing around development,
mm-hmm.
things like APIs, different technologies that developers may want to use to build around our content.
Okay.
And so as far as accessibility is concerned, we have been pretty much in alignment with companies' priorities, so we are not sort of one small team that does one thing and nothing else. So we pretty much work with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one new thing that happened to us within the last year or two, is that we are much more focused on mobile than ever before.
Okay.
That is making, first of all, Yahoo produces many more apps than we ever done before. Well, I guess everyone does, so it's not a surprise.
Sure.
But for us, that means our focus is also on making that stuff available and inclusive of assistive technology, such as voiceover, or increasingly so on ice cream sandwich and things like that. And that means we work with developers, but also we oftentimes we find ourselves actually brainstorming, coming up with the solutions, because this technology is so new, we don't even have answers for every problem that we find on mobile devices.
Sure. So in the process of developing, say, a new website service or a new app, are there official Yahoo steps or protocol that must be followed for that the developers must include inclusive design, or how does that work out as a new product is being created?
Yeah, so in general we follow we have internal accessibility guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part we try to work with designers from the start, and that means things like wireframes. When they start building prototypes and things like that, we try to work with them at that stage so they understand what kind of issues involved. Just to give you a brief overview, for us the three most important things are device independence, which means users should be able to use Yahoo websites no matter which device they come from.
Okay.
Whether it's a keyboard, whether it's a mouse, whether it's a touch screen, our technology needs to be smart enough to scale and understand the input that the user is using at that particular point.
Okay.
The second one is making sure that stuff is readable. These are things like color contrast, color usage in general, font sizes and things like that. Things that make stuff more readable for people who have low vision or have difficulty seeing or see in some other way. And obviously the third one is a screen reader. And that's when you get into crazy stuff like ARIA and all these geeky terms that people probably don't understand, but it's making dynamic applications work with
sure.
assistive technology. And so we try to hit these three areas with both engineers and designers. But for product managers, we have a 12 checkpoint list which we give out, and we say if your product is aligned with any of these checkpoints, it's your responsibility to make sure that you have yes to each of these checkpoints.
Now, is it actually?
And our role is to help you make it happen.
Okay.
So we work more as a consulting team. We try not to do work for other teams because we have so many smart developers that it would be almost a it wouldn't be a good thing for us to do their work because they already know what to do with code
sure.
and they know how to code. Our job is to come in and say, here's how you make this work with assistive technology. We are happy to brainstorm with you and figure out solutions, but it is you who will have to actually do the doing.
So you say guidelines. If a new service is being released, does it need to pass certain accessibility or inclusive design tests before it is released?
It's a mixed bag of things. In a theoretical sort of stratosphere, that's what needs to happen. They need to pass through these guidelines, through the checklist. In reality, though, with all the innovation that's going on, it does happen. We miss certain products, and because of the process known as agile, because of the process that companies use to develop products, we sometimes get in the middle of the product development. But right now, we have such a great reputation that for the most part, product managers are willing to deprioritize certain things in favor of accessibility or give us a higher priority because they have not thought of us before. So it's really a mixed bag of things. And that's something what Ted is largely responsible for, is to get in touch with developer teams, download their code base and say, hey guys, let us get together, chat about your problems, and let's figure out what we can do about this particular... like as I mentioned before, oftentimes we don't actually have the right answers for everyone.
Right.
Things like swiping, carousels on the mobile... It's all pretty complex stuff, but it doesn't mean we should be making it inclusive and thinking about assistive technology and things like that. So,
and I take it it's probably been a work in progress. How long has your team been in existence, really?
Altogether, I joined Yahoo about 6 years ago. I guess you could call it the beginning of the accessibility team.
Okay.
And then Alan Brightman joined, who is the head of our overall department.
Okay.
And then later on... we have another engineer, Todd Klutz, who is not here today, and Ted and Nate joined. So, yeah, we've been...
Did you find that you probably started out more as doing a lot of education and letting the developers know
yeah.
what needs to be done, and is that probably happening less and less now? Or
that's exactly what happened. I mean, when I joined, it was basically one blind guy running around showing people what the screen reader is, and of course everyone was like, wow, this is amazing, how can you listen to it so fast? Your typical reaction
right.
people have...
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that you quickly realize it wasn't enough. I mean, I can't go to every, out of 13,000 employees and talk to each and everyone. It was quickly,
and convince them all, too.
Yeah, I quickly realized it was not scalable, and that's why we started to think more seriously. We really need an organization. We need a team of people that are constantly watching what's going on in the company.
So you push for that to to happen.
Absolutely. And that, you know, it was not an easy push, but you know, we made it happen. So.
Okay. Have you explored, and I know there's so many Yahoo services, so forgive me if I, you know, sure. if things have already happened, but...
You mean you're not using Yahoo?
Well, I do use... of course, we use all that different stuff.
Sure.
But looking at some of the advanced features, like, for instance, I know people had asked about, say, the graphs that show up on the Yahoo Finance.
Right.
You ever look at, like, the possibility of, you know, how can we present that same information in non-visually, or is that being done? Or?
It's a great question, because traditionally, as you know, graphs are very difficult to make accessible. Easy graphs are easy, right? I mean, you could always make them into a data table.
Right.
So the user could go... Having said that, even the data table is not the best format, because you really don't have an understanding of the relationship between different points on the graph.
Right.
It's even more complex with things like, you know, where you have multiple points that are changing dynamically at any given instant. So just to briefly answer your question, we are actually working right now on an accessible chart.
Okay.
It's going to be a library. We have this... toolkit called YUI, which is the Yahoo User Interface Library.
Okay.
And we'll definitely announce once the work is done, but we think it's going to be something cool.
So that'll be open source, or?
Yeah, it will be open source. Everyone will be able to use it.
Okay.
Yeah, and because we have been struggling with this issue for some time, and I think we finally sit down, so let's see if we can crack this.
So how do you anticipate the library conveying that information, or is that something you're still trying to figure out?
Yeah, no, well, we figured it out, but you know what? Let me do this. Why don't we just keep it off the mic?
Okay.
And once things happen, we're going to make sure we explain it to people. I just want to get into this lengthy...
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be great.
Okay. Any idea on a timetable of when something that might be...
No timetables, but I'd like to say, you know, within half a year or something like that.
And I guess a lot of those same challenges present themselves when you have... say real-time streaming information from, well, not just finance, but, you know, other, you know, facets of Yahoo where you have information that's coming at you rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is going to be our increasingly big challenge for us, is making those dynamic elements work well. And particularly so, it's really not so much challenge for us as a company, which it still is, as I said.
Right.
But because we have to work with all the assistive technologies, some of which are far behind as far as the latest technologies. And so it has been... We have to make some hard choices, such as which ones we support, which ones we don't. There's a philosophical reason for why we're doing that, because we think the web needs to move forward. Mm-hmm. And actually, even if we didn't think so, the web is going to move forward anyway.
Right.
So we may just as well stay at the front line and, you know, make sure that we move along with it and we are part of the movement. And then work with the assistive technology folks to make sure they understand what we do, and give them as much help as we can in things such as screencasts. You know, so we create lots of prototypes, lots of examples, and we send it to them. And say, hey, here's what you need to be doing. And so it's an ongoing.
And there's a balance, right, between you know, who's what is Yahoo's responsibility? What is the screen reader's responsibility?
You know, and there's let's be honest. I mean, there are some things that are, you know, users use more, and there are things that users use less. So we kind of, some of our products get more attention than others. Mm-hmm. You know, things like finance, which is the number one finance site, you know, in the world. You know, I mean, obviously it's going to get a higher priority than some, I don't know, some obscure thing that maybe a couple of users use, you know, things like that.
Come on, the fantasy football live draft. I've never tried it. I don't know, does it work?
Oh, you know, that's...
You know, we've been working with sports a lot in the past few months, and I've got high expectations for the future sports applications that come out because we've been working with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in general, I think one of the challenges we're sort of dealing with some of the products, especially like sports, we've got lots of legacy stuff, and they're moving to new platforms, and that's a great chance for us to do some big things. And Ted has been working on the front line with companies like Apple, you know, even making statistics tables accessible. You know, it seems that it's pretty trivial. Turns out, we don't actually get sometimes all of the necessary API access to make stuff like that accessible. And so it's, like Ted said, we have high hopes that our fantasy sports are going to become you know, available and easily usable pretty soon. But it may take...
Even the upcoming March Madness app should be pretty nice.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and just to put it out there, at least from my personal experience... the actual fantasy football seems to work pretty well. It was the draft, I think, was the only thing I was really unsure.
Yeah, and we know that's one of the painful points that we're sort of trying to...
It's most important, of course.
Well, that's what you say, but then other people are going to come to us and say, I want that women's side to be fully...
Right. No, I mean, that's the most important part of fantasy, but no, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's probably not, maybe not as important as finance, but you know, that's a balancing act, you know. I'm for sure for trying to determine where to go next. And,
right, and then there's innovation, right, which is you've got to leave some time for doing crazy things that nobody ever hears about that may eventually make into some of the products, you know, so...
Any examples that you can say publicly, or?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, Yahoo Search
has got
some great user experience.
But it's already live, right?
And it's already live. So if anybody uses Yahoo Search with a screen reader, mm-hmm. it's a very robust, dynamic experience with a screen reader. And we just recently re-released our search app for iOS that incorporates voice search and a really nice interaction.
So what are some of the screen reader enhancements that you put in the Yahoo Search?
Well, I think we recommend, it's for the most part, we recommend that if people can't use, if they can use NVDA and Firefox,
right.
So far this is the best combination. Having said that, JAWS 13 will work okay.
Right.
VoiceOver depends, sort of, kind of, you know, it's...
But when the user starts searching for an object, for a subject, and that subject can be pulled out pretty quickly, like Lady Gaga, the search, the screen reader will actually start announcing the important information that they're searching for.
So the results part is going to work pretty well, I think, even with JAWS 12. So even with all the technologies, it's just the interaction itself may be a little bit flakier mm-hmm. with all the technologies. And the thing that Ted was talking about, which we called Search Direct, and if you go to search.yahoo.com, basically what happens is as you start typing into the edit field, you not only hear suggestions that you have for your searches, but you also hear the content that's being associated with that search suggestion.
Okay.
It's kind of like instant search that, you know, from Google, but we basically, our interface is kind of different, but it does what it should be doing, really, for assistive technology.
Sure. Looking forward, what are some of your major goals over the next couple of years? Where do you see Yahoo Inclusive Design headed?
I mean, it's better integration with the design team. I will say there's still some work needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
On the product side, we're hoping to be going really aggressive with our mobile applications.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously on the web, we will work with things like Facebook integration. You know, we have a feature called Social Call, and that allows you to share with your friends on Facebook what news you are reading, and you know, things like that. So social media integration into Yahoo, and obviously making sure that stuff works really well for assistive technology users, so that people can participate rather than being excluded because for some reason their assistive technology can't take advantage of these features. You know, I want to just take a couple of minutes, if you don't mind, and talk about quickly another component was recently introduced into our inclusive design team, and that's a social media component.
Sure.
That's what Nate is doing. So, Nate, I don't know, do you want to spend a couple of minutes just talking about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, a recent thing that we've picked up within the last year and a half has been the social media component.
Okay.
And actually, here at CSUN, yesterday, we did a discussion about the benefits for accessibility organizations and the benefits of using social media within the field of accessibility for all organizations.
Okay.
So we've started using social media, and we have several channels. We have a blog at accessibility.yahoo.com.
Okay.
That blog is a place where people go to learn about the real-life experience of living life with a disability. So it's not like anything you've ever seen before. It's fun, it's risky, it's bold, it's entertaining.
It's not just a bunch of press releases about Yahoo. And
no,
it's not at all.
Right.
Not at all. We have a handful of contributors that contribute to the blog, and they're people with disabilities or immediately around the field.
Are they all Yahoo employees, or do you?
Absolutely not. There are people from throughout the field of accessibility and people with disabilities on the internet, and they contribute to our blog to kind of create this. It creates an atmosphere where people can come to learn about disability in a really entertaining and people-centered approach.
Right.
And we have contributors, for example, like the blind film critic.
Right.
And he goes and he'll watch a mainstream film with no audio descriptions, and he'll come back and do a complete critique of that film.
From his perspective.
From his perspective as a blind critic.
I think, JJ, one important thing is that, you know, because we're both media and technology company, our blog on purpose tries not to deal with technology. So we specifically said from the very start, this is going to be a blog about people, which Nate sort of mentioned briefly, but I just want to stress that because that was a differentiating differentiator we wanted to have.
You didn't want to be just another technology blog.
Yeah, that's the thing. And we didn't want to be like, okay, here's the latest version of blah, blah, blah that's been released, you know? Because there's so many other blogs that are doing this already. We thought, what is it that's missing in the field? And what we found is missing is that fun sort of people.
More of a lifestyle type blog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
And also we have a Facebook and Twitter that we also heavily stress as well. We put a lot of focus within these channels because we found that these channels, one of the great things that they've done for us, well, there's many great things they've done for us. I'll list a couple.
Okay.
One of the great things is, though, they've connected us to organizations around the field of accessibility and people with disabilities that are key players in the field that we may not have known about otherwise without our social media channels.
Okay.
But because of our social media channels, we've been granted that opportunity, that introduction to these players, and we now share content with one another, and we kind of have a partnership and a relationship that otherwise did not exist for us.
So how has the reception been for the blog? It sounds like it's doing really well.
The blog is doing great. Yeah, we have a high traffic, a handful of people coming every month, and what stands out most to us is these people accessing our sites are not only people with disabilities. It's people outside who may have somebody close to them and have some interest in disability. But the idea is it's raising awareness and acceptance, kind of showing people that, yes, this is disability-related content, but it's damn good content. You know, it's great content. Everyone's going to love it.
Okay.
So, JJ, just a couple of minutes, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We glossed over briefly the new Yahoo Search app for the iPhone that Ted mentioned.
Right.
But because I know that lots of blind iOS users will be listening to your podcast, I just wanted to sort of suggest that people go and try it out and let us know their feedback, because from what we found out, we think it's the most accessible voice search application in the App Store.
So I was going to ask about that.
Right.
So, you know, with the search app or say any Yahoo service, you could go to the regular help try to put in a message to customer service, but that's not necessarily going to get to the right people that who will understand accessibility.
Okay.
So if I'm on, say, you know, everything from finance to groups or whatever, and I find it's something that is not working accessibly, what's the best way to get that message to the right people?
So we have several channels. First of all, we were pretty open, people just, you know, tweeting us and saying, hey, you know, I have the following problem.
And your Twitter?
Yeah, so Twitter account is Yahoo Access.
Okay.
At Yahoo. Yeah, at Yahoo Access, right?
Yep.
We have a Yahoo group where people can sign in, and obviously it's a longer format so we can discuss what the problems are. And it's, I don't know if I should give you a URL separately as well.
What's the group name?
It's Y-Accessibility.
Okay.
And on top of that, most of the queries that people send that are accessibility related will be forwarded to us in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Even though you think you're not communicating with us, we're aware of most of the things that come through the customer care.
Okay. Do you have is there an accessibility email address?
Not the one that we have open externally.
Okay.
Because, you know.
But you can go through the group or for the
Email is hard
Twitter.
To track. The group is probably the best if people want to discuss.
Like if they want to get feedback on the search app or other.
Yeah.
Other things, there's discussion. And so what's the best way then, if the blog is more of a lifestyle thing, what's the best way to keep up with the latest accessibility enhancements at Yahoo?
Also, on part of our blog, there's a code library.
That's right.
So whenever we
basically solve a problem
on
one of our products. Mm-hmm. We publish an article about it, and we make it live on our code library.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't have to keep explaining this to our engineers. We just send them to that library.
Yeah, and like Victor said, that's probably more of a developer thing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you're looking
and
for
that's
you...
part of our main blog. It's just
okay.
Separate.
Well, look, for both, yes.
Yeah, for the users, I would say Twitter probably is the easiest one.
Okay.
Because that's probably where things will get announced. We do have place on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's YouTube. Our channel is called Yahoo Accessibility. Surprise, surprise. And we try to post video demos of things that we do. So, you know, people want to check out, let's see how certain things work. That would be the place. But in terms of announcements, I would say Twitter probably is the best source, right? And the Yahoo group, obviously.
Okay. What do you, all of you, feel, like, what's the big benefit of coming to a conference like CSUN as a mainstream company?
I, as an engineer at Yahoo, I actually attend, most of the things I attend are not engineering,
mm-hmm.
but I like to learn more about the disabilities themselves, like cognitive disabilities, communication disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and some of the technology that's being built away from the web. So I think that gives us a broader spectrum of knowledge. Plus, we also get to meet other organizations and share information.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what Ted points out is one of our, you know, of course we can always come in and, you know, talk to people about HTML5, and but I think everyone is talking about that. So when we come here, we actually try to learn about things that are not widely talked about, because there's gems is somewhere always, you know, that you don't necessarily, not everybody's paying attention to.
Yeah.
So we usually come in and we do kind of guerrilla sort of, you know, attendance. You know, we talk to people, network. We do have a presentation. They had a very cool presentation on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it every year is different.
Right. But it's an annual trip for many of you.
So far it has been.
Yeah. That's right. And it's kind of similar to what I was saying in the social media space, where we're able to build relationships by coming to this conference where all the key players around the field of accessibility mm-hmm. are attending.
Someone you might have talked to just through email or Twitter, you get to...
Yeah, it's all... Yeah, yep. Maybe through Twitter or email. We've done that a handful. But also just the whole idea of serendipity.
Right.
Where you kind of bump into that person, start a conversation, and start learning that this could be a really beneficial relationship for the field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This has been really interesting and enlightening. It's always, you know, great to talk to mainstream companies and learn about your inclusive design and accessibility efforts. And we really appreciate talking to all of you.
Yeah, and also, again, want to encourage users to get back to us with feedback, because we want to hear more from users. I don't think we hear enough. So the more we hear from users, the better service we can offer.
Great.
So keep in touch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2012.